make our way back to our seats. There is in Psalm 46, it says, come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. You know, this past week, we have seen and heard about the attacks by Hamas on Israel. And it was shocking. And then we've heard in retaliation, the government of Israel has decided to ask hundreds of thousands of people who live in the Gaza Strip to move because they have declared war on Hamas. The whole thing is disturbing. People's lives have been ended and uprooted. And we need to pray as a church. We can't control the decisions of governing authorities, but we can appeal to God. And God says in Psalm 46, verse 9, he makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. And so we need to pray for peace in Israel and Palestine. We need to pray and keep in mind that there is war in between Russia and Ukraine. We need to pray for that conflict to cease. And we also need to remember that there is civil disorder in Haiti. And we need to pray for the Haitian people and for our brothers and sisters. Let's pray. Father, God, we come before you. It is distressing to see lives taken needlessly. It is distressing to see war. It is distressing to see terror. And Father, we come before you because even though the war between Israel and Hamas is thousands of miles away, God, it's on the news every day. And we see pictures and we hear reports, and it affects all of us in some way or another. And so we cry out to you this morning and we ask for peace. We ask that the war between Israel and Hamas will come to a quick end. We also bring before you the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. We know that lives have been lost on both sides. And we know that we have brothers and sisters who live in Russia and in Ukraine. And we pray that that war will cease and that there will be peace. And our hearts also grieve for the situation in Haiti, where there is an absence of governance and gangs now control Port-au-Prince and are creating havoc for innocent men, women, and children. And we pray for the people of Haiti. And we pray for our brothers and sisters that you would keep them safe. And we pray that order will be restored. Father, as we come before you, help us to remember that you hear our prayers and that you are grieved when men commit acts of violence against others. It grieves you. And so we cry out to you, God. We trust in your sovereign hand, but we ask that you make these conflicts cease. Break the bow and shatter the spear. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I do want to let you all know that on Saturday, October the 28th, we are going to be having a prayer time for the nation of Haiti. That will be at 9:30 a.m. via Zoom. We will send the link out. And I'm encouraged to let you know that the couple who lead the church in Haiti, Adler and Linda Timo, will join us on that Zoom call, and they will give us an update of what is going on. So please keep that in your calendar, Saturday, October the 28th at 9:30 a.m. Today we're going to begin our study of God's Word in Luke chapter 19. It reads, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Don't you wish that Zacchaeus cheated you of something? Jesus said to him, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Don't you love this story of Zacchaeus and his encounter with Jesus? I love how it began. Jesus entered Jerusalem. Jesus did not live in Jericho, pardon me. He did not live in Jericho. Jericho was not his home. Jesus actually conducted the most of his ministry activities in Capernaum and around the Sea of Galilee. And if you look on the map, it was a long distance. And those days, they didn't have trains. They didn't have Ubers. And they didn't have planes. It was a long distance. And you might also be aware that this was the last time that Jesus would actually pass through Jericho, because he was making his final journey to Jerusalem, where he would ultimately perish. And there were a lot of people around Jesus. There was a crowd of people around Jesus. But only one man responded to him, Zacchaeus. And in the interaction with Zacchaeus, Jesus makes an incredible statement that clarifies his mission on earth. He said in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. This statement helps us understand why Jesus came. This statement helps us to understand what was important to Jesus. He came to seek and to save the lost. To seek. That word is a verb, and it means an attempt to find something. In order to seek, we must do something. And Jesus passed through Jericho looking, seeking to help people. The word to save is a verb. It is also an action word. It means to rescue someone from harm or danger. And so Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He came looking for people to rescue them from harm and danger. And the one person who he found, the one person who he rescued, was Zacchaeus. Now, last Sunday, we saw that the church is the body of Christ. Christ is the head, and the church is the body. The church is not a building, even though we worship in a building. Like JPAC, the church is not the building. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. And what concerns the head ought to concern the body. You with me here? Because there is a unique and intimate relationship that the head has with the body and vice versa. What's important to Jesus should also be important to us. If Jesus came to seek and to save what was lost, if that was the clearly defined mission of the head of the church, then that ought to be our mission as well. Are you with me, church? To seek and to save what was lost. What did Jesus come to save us from? What is he saving us from? What is the harm or danger that we as human beings face? Well, the answer is found in Matthew chapter 1. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So in this dream, an angel came to Joseph and gave him specific instructions. The angel said, you are to call this child Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. So what did Jesus come to save us from? He came to save us from our sins. He came to rescue us from our sins. That was his singular mission, to save his people from their sins. You see, brothers and sisters and friends, we have a sin problem. This is what is communicated to us in the whole body of Scripture. We have a sin problem. And until we accept that reality, we will never truly address the root of our human issues. We can see symptoms of the problem, but you can't solve a problem by focusing on its symptoms. We must face the problem in order to solve it. We have a sin problem, and we see symptoms of the problem. We see racism. We see war. We see murders. We see classism. We see poverty. We see greed. These are all symptoms of the problem. But the problem is sin. And only Jesus can save us from our sins. Now, a government has a role to play in the lives of people, but a government cannot save you from your sins. A university degree might help you advance your career. It may be used to help others in some way, but a university degree cannot save you from your sins, no matter what university you graduated from, Harvard, Yale, or any of the Ivy Leagues. It cannot save you from your sins. Wealth can give you access to things that people cannot have. It can enable you to drive a nice car, live in a wonderful community, gain access to great health care, and it can even allow you to travel the world. But wealth cannot save you from your sins. Some of us have amazing talents. God has gifted you with intelligence and skills. You are highly respected on your job and among your peers. But all your great talents cannot save you from your sins. Only Jesus can save us from our sins. And that is why he was sent. And based on the scriptures, the problems of life began with Adam and Eve's separation from God and their expulsion from the Garden of Eden. We're not going to get into the entire account of Genesis chapter 3, but after God confronted Adam and Eve, it says in Genesis 3:21, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way of the tree of life. So after Adam and Eve sinned, God expelled them from the garden. And he said, we don't want these people back in this community. And so because of Adam and Eve, sin entered the world and separated humans from a relationship with their creator. Moreover, sin also separated us from each other. Sin began to corrupt the relationship between Adam and Eve. It began to corrupt the relationships between family members. In fact, in the very next chapter, we see Cain murdering his own brother Abel. And the sociologists would say that because of the environment that people grew up in, that's why there's murder and mayhem. Well, that may be true to a certain extent, but what was the environment that Cain and Abel grew up in? But yet Cain, because of sin in his heart that he didn't want to deal with, he went and killed his own brother out in a field and left him there to die. Later on, in that very same chapter, only three generations from Cain, we're introduced to a man named Lamech. And Lamech marries two women and becomes, in my opinion, the first Old Testament Don. Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, listen to me, wives of Lamech. Hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me and a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times. A true Don. If you hurt me, you will have hell to pay. And this is only in the fourth chapter of Genesis. Lamech did away with the biblical ideal of marriage. Okay, in God's mind, a man can only handle one woman. That's all we can handle. So he gave Adam Eve. He didn't say to Adam, Adam, you need Eve, you need Suzette, you need Mary. And in case you get tired with all three of them, here's another one at the side. Right? Lamech did away with the biblical ideal. He said, I don't need just one wife. I need two. This is only in the fourth chapter of Genesis. By Genesis chapter 6, God actually makes an incredible statement. He regrets that he made human beings. Genesis 6, 5 to 7. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. Who did God have trouble with? Human beings. He looked at human beings and he said, I regret I made them. I'm deeply troubled. And who bore the consequences? The animals, the birds, the creatures. All of them had to die because they didn't do anything wrong. They were just being birds and animals. It's us. Our sin so disturbed God that he said the only solution is to just wipe them out. Sin is the problem. Until you recognize that, until you come to terms with that, it will always be the problem. And we can look at other people and look at this one sin and look at that one sin and look at my wife's sin and look at my kid's sin and look at Trump's sin and look at Giuliani's sin. But until you come to terms with your sin, you're only part of the problem. I had to come to terms with my sin. I was a student at college, and I was traveling to the library, and which was typical for me, I fell asleep on the bus and I missed my stop. And as soon as I got off, I got off a few stops down, and as soon as I got off that bus, two people crossed the street and headed straight towards me. One was a Caucasian student called Mike Golasso, and the other was an African-Canadian woman called Donna Smelly. They both saw me come off the bus and headed straight to me. They didn't know who I was. I had no prior relationship with them. They just saw me and said, let's go over there and talk to this man. And I was surprised and taken aback at first, but they invited me to an event that their church was having called I Want to Know What Love Is. And I was interested in it. It seemed like a good topic. I gave them my phone number, but I never attended the event. They gave my number to a campus minister called Marty Udall. And Marty started calling me, and eventually we arranged a meeting, and Marty opened up the scriptures to me and started talking to me about the Bible. And I started studying the Bible. And as I started studying the scriptures, my eyes began to be opened. We got to a point where we looked at a passage in Galatians chapter 5. And I will never forget where I was when I saw that passage. Because only that day was the full extent of sin clearly defined before me. I had no clue that the life I was living was displeasing to God. I had no clue that the choices that I was making had put me in a position where I was separated from God. After studying those scriptures, I saw very clearly that my lifestyle, the hatred I had towards my father, my addiction to pornography, and my addiction to sexual sin, these were choices that I made. These were decisions that I made. But I had no idea that it was those very same decisions that plunged me into total and complete darkness. I learned about confessing sin as opposed to hiding my life. I learned about repenting. I learned that I cannot be reconciled with Christ unless I made a decision to turn away from the things that was destroying me. I had to throw away my pornographic magazines. I had to make a decision I was going to break up with my girlfriend because I did not want to have sexual relationships with her and jeopardize my relationship with God. These were decisions I had to make. And I remember making Jesus Lord of my life and being immersed in a very cold body of water and getting my sins forgiven. And I can say that it was Jesus who did his work of freeing me from my sins. He used Mike Galasso, Donna Smelly, Marty Udall, and other brothers to help me. But it was the work of Jesus to extract me from the darkness and free me from my sins. Now, sin doesn't pack its bags and walk away and travel to another country. But I learned how to engage in spiritual battle with my sinful nature. But I can say I have been rescued from the dominion of sin because sin no longer has its hold on me. I am no longer a slave to my sinful nature. Thanks be to God. And I have often thought in the course of my Christian life, I've often thought, what if Mike Galasso and Donna Smelly never reached out to me? What if they were too afraid? What if they were too intimidated? What if they wanted to go home and play video games? What if I never had that opportunity? I cannot begin to imagine where my life would have been had they not made that critical decision to come and talk to me. That's my story. Many people here have similar stories. We've been rescued from the darkness. Christ has held open his arms and has enfolded us into this wonderful redemption story. Remember, Christ isn't dead. He's alive. And he still is seeking. And he is still saving those who are lost. Matthew 1:21, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And my question to you is, has Jesus saved you from your sins? What sins have you come to terms with and have seen in the light of Scripture? What sins have you been freed from? Can you actually name them? Can you name the sins that you've been freed from? Can you actually say, yes, this is a sin that I was enslaved to, but I no longer am a slave to it anymore? Do you have an answer to that question? If you are confused in any way about anything I've just said, if you have no answer, if there's any degree of ambiguity in your mind, I am telling you today that Jesus has not accomplished what he desires to accomplish in your life. And until you allow Christ to do his work in your life, you are in your sins and separated from God. If you don't believe me, look in the Scriptures. What I'm telling you is the truth. If Christ has not freed you from your sins, you are still in your sins. And so this week, we are embarking on our fall campaign into all the world. Because we believe that the Spirit of Jesus is still seeking, and the Spirit of Jesus still wants to save those who are lost. Our theme is taken from the passage in Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Why does he command that? Because it is God's desire to give as many people as possible an opportunity to allow Jesus to save them from their sins. God willing, hopefully you will be the Mike Galasso and Donna Smelly in somebody's life. Hopefully you will be, as Jesus went through Jericho, hopefully you will find your Zacchaeus or your Ethiopian eunuch. But this is God's plan of salvation. People who have a relationship with Jesus, who've been freed from their sins, they desire to help others, because we don't want to leave people lost. We don't want to throw our hands up in the air and go, well, that's their problem. If Mike Galasso and Donna Smelly said, well, that's Sean's problem, I would still be lost. Someone reached you. Someone had the courage to talk to you. And if they didn't open their mouth, where would you be? God wants others to be included in his story of redemption. And so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to different communities. You know, we're concentrating our outreach along the 7 train line, because the 7 train line is known as the International Express. You're going through all these wonderful communities. You know, when you live in Queens, you don't have to take a plane to go anywhere. You just take the train, right? So week one, we're going to be in Chinatown and Korea, beginning Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Week two, we're going to be in Latin America, 103rd Street and Corona Station. Week three, Little India and Tibet, Jackson Heights Station. And week four, we're going to be heading to the Philippines. I'm very excited. I got my passport ready. We're also going to have equipping classes. The first one begins later today at 4 o'clock, Ephesians 4:11. So Christ gave himself the apostles, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Our fall equipping series, our goal is to teach men and women how to actually lead those personal Bible studies. You know, this is the amazing way that God works his salvation through us. It's when we sit down and study the Bible with people. Something magical happens. Spirit of God speaks to individuals, but we need men and women who are prepared and trained and equipped to lead those Bible studies. And so we're going to be focusing in on the Word, the seeking God, study the cross, and discipleship over the next few weeks. We're also going to have a prayer time on Zoom. Hey, everybody can be involved, right? Matthew 9, 37 to 38, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. What does he say? Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. We know not everybody can go every week. We all have constraints, but one thing we can do, we can all pray, can't we? We want as many people as possible involved in our campaign. And so we're going to have weekly prayer times every Friday for the next 4 weeks, 7:30 p.m. on Zoom, starting this Friday. We hope that you will see and feel deeply in your heart that the Holy Spirit wants to use you. That you and I, we collectively are all ambassadors of Christ, his body. Amen. And to prepare us for our time in Flushing, I've asked Donlin Seong to come on up and to give us an overview of what to expect in Flushing. So let's give it up for Donlin Seong.
I think you said give it up. Was that really giving it up? So, as you know, my name is Donald. Actually, maybe you don't know. This is my lovely wife, Seong. We're here to talk about what's going to happen in Flushing next week. And apparently, they're giving us an ambassadorship. We get our office in the embassy next Monday. It's only going to last a week, though. But you might wonder why us, right? Why the Veronas doing this? But I'm going to let Seong share first.
Good morning. I would like to greet you in Korean. 안녕하세요. 오늘 아침에 말씀드리게 너무 영광입니다. I said good morning. It's an honor for us to speak to you about this campaign. As Donald shared, I feel like I know Queens and Flushing area very well. My family and I immigrated here over 40 years ago, and I didn't speak much English, but I learned quickly. The first two expressions was thank you and shut up. Very succinct, right? So I can relate to a lot of you who've immigrated here from another country. I can say that I've been Americanized, but I still have on the core value my Korean side as well. And number one, cash is king.
Okay.
And number two, you must save.
Wow.
Yeah, you probably can relate a lot. And I wanted to share this morning about a time that I came back from Seattle. I took a little break from New York, and I went to Seattle, and then I came back because I wasn't well health-wise. So I came back, and it was a time that I sat down with Robin. I was thinking originally about going to Manhattan Ministry because it was more ethnically diverse. So Robin sat me down and talked to me about why I should stay in Queens, okay, Queens Ministry. And so what she shared with me was Esther 4, chapter 4, 13 to 14. And let me set up the scripture for you. So Mordecai was talking to Esther, who was in king's household. And at that time, the Jews were persecuted back then too. And they were killing all the Jews. And he said, "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you or your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." This really convicted me because I realized I have to be the change that I want to see so that I can reach out to more diverse ethnic group, because I can.
Yes.
So I really wanted to encourage you to pray about this campaign and get behind it, because we're here. I don't just attend Korean church because of my people, but I want to be here where I can reach out to all nations.
That's right.
So Donald will continue explaining, giving us instructions.
Come on. Awesome. Awesome job.
Thank you. Thank you, Siang. So in a few minutes, I'm going to share a scripture. If you could turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I stumble over my words, I'll pick myself back up. So how did I become an ambassador for Flushing? Mostly it's because of my association with my wife, this lovely lady here. But I've also been in Queens for 27 years. And I've always liked exploring unusual food. Like, the food where I grew up was, you know, was kind of bland and comfort food in the South. That's mostly what it is. Siang and I, since I like to try all these new foods, Siang and I actually bonded over food. You know, so we went to this restaurant in Flushing, and it was Sichuan food, and we had our opinions about it, but it was when we first started dating, before we started dating, that was how we connected over food. One of our favorite places to visit for this kind of food is in Flushing, is in either downtown Flushing or Bayside. It's like Koreatown or Chinatown in Manhattan, except it's a lot closer and it's a lot cheaper. So Flushing, if you didn't know, is probably one of the most, the largest and one of the most diverse areas of Queens, right? I don't know if you've ever stepped out of the 7 train at Roosevelt Avenue. Like Sean said last week, it's like you're in a different country, right? 60% of the signs are in Chinese and 40% are in Korean and the other half are in English. And you're wondering, that was a joke, by the way. you're wondering, like, am I really still in New York City? And then you look back and there's a subway entrance right there. So that part of the of Flushing right outside the 7 train, you might call it downtown Flushing. Most of the businesses there are Korean or Chinese. And if you get out, you know, it might be overwhelming or intimidating once you step out. You think, I don't know how to talk to these people. Do they speak English? And you might feel like an outsider. But you have to, like, for me, it helps me to remember that with the confidence of Jesus, that I belong there just as much as anyone else does.
Right?
So it, just like Siang speaks English, you know, it's not like you're going to try to speak to someone and they won't understand you. You know, if you go into a restaurant or something, people will, usually there's someone there who can speak English or speak your language and help you to order. For the campaign, if you... we recommend that you make this kind of a group effort. Don't just try to go there by yourself. Mm-hmm. Go with another couple or with your whole family or with a group of singles or whatever is going to work for you in a way that you can make it fun, you can make it adventurous. We've created a guide, a Google Doc that we'll get Sean to share but has a list of places to go. Some are free, some are cheap, some are nicer if you want to spend some money on a nice restaurant and learn how to eat Korean barbecue, which is very good, but very expensive. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in verse 1, it says, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." So when you go out to Flushing, when you go out to meet people, make sure you do it with love and sincerity. Yes. People can, you know, sense your motivation, right? And if you do it with joy, with trying to learn about their culture, maybe asking them about where they're from or what they like to do or what's something, you know, that they can share with you, I think people will definitely be more open. So, but remember, this guide that we're going to send out is just a guide. It's not like you have to go to this place and this time and one of these restaurants. There are other areas of Flushing. Problem with downtown Flushing is there's no parking. There is parking, but it's strictly, you know, enforced. Some of the streets you can't drive on. You can't drive on Main Street. At least you're not supposed to. And so if you need help with finding other areas to go, like Bayside or Murray Hill or Northern Boulevard, there's a lot of places along there, and you need to drive instead of trying to, you know, bring your family to downtown Flushing, just reach out to us and let us know, all right? And so we're definitely praying for this campaign. It should be fun, and if it's not fun, you know, talk to someone about it, because I think putting your heart into what we're doing is really what's most important, right? So may God bless us with this campaign, and hopefully he'll show us how to meet the people that we need to. So thank you for your time.
감사합니다.
감사합니다. Thank you, Donald and Sia. We'll just close out with a word of prayer. Father, we come before you. We are sinners that you have found. You sought us through the work of other people, and you rescued us from the dangers and harm of sin. And so we want to express our gratitude, because we are undeserving of your love, and we humbly come before you because we want to help others. We pray your spirit that is working in us and through us will guide us to people who are searching for you. We know that there are other Donalds and Seongs and Robins and Michelles and Jerrys and Cocos that are out there. We know. But God, please guide us to them, and may your spirit use us to continue your great and amazing work of salvation, to seek and save what was lost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.